الحمد لله المعطي برحمته وفضله، المانع بحكمته وعدله، أحمده سبحانه لا راد لأمره ولا معقب لحكمه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أفضل أنبيائه وخير رسله. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. All thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thank and glorify Him. He guided us to the best path. And the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, with no partner or associates. I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. He sent him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us as a favor and bounty from himself. O Allah, send prayers upon and have mercy for and bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions, and all those who follow in their footsteps until the day of judgment. The current event of that film that defamed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in response to that around the world, I'm sure all khutbas and all messages around the world now, the responding to this false accusation for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the best way is to respond peacefully and to educate the non-Muslims about the reality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his morals and his characters. And today's khutbah, inshallah, in two parts. The first part is general about his morals, ethics. And the second khutbah, we're going to mention some of the statements that non-Muslims stated, non-Muslims who were truthful about what they said, and their scholars, what they said about Prophet Muhammad in their writings. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a mercy to all humanity, not only to the Muslims, for all humanity. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was merciful and his heart was merciful. He was always aware of the pain felt by others. He used to know other people's aims and would try to help in their efforts to achieve them. He was always ready to take care and support them. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent messages to many kings of his time, asked them to cast away their false arrogance. He listened kindly and patiently to the barefoot Bedouins who said he was busy dividing the spoils equally among people. O Muhammad, be fair to me. This wealth is neither yours nor your father's. And the response of Prophet Muhammad to this Bedouin was not hard, was not harsh, but he was kind to him. So we should not be violent, and we should not respond with any kind of responses other than when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to people who criticized him even during his life. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a worshipper, constantly turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, while leading a prayer as Imam, he was reciting in a state of exaltation a long surah from the Noble Quran, which was more precious to him than all the gold of the earth. When he heard an infant whose mother was praying behind him in a mosque crying, so he sacrificed his feelings of profound delight and happiness and ended the salah hastily out of mercy for the infant weeping for his mother. Those who waged war against him, brimming over with bitter hatred to such an extent that they horribly mutilated the corpse of his uncle Hamza, the martyr, and chewed his liver in a fit of fierce and brutal rancor, and who were eventually brought before the Prophet in total submission, were told, in spite of fact that they were at his mercy, "Go, for you are all free." That was the Prophet Muhammad's response to the people who treated him and treated his followers in a manner that they wanted to wipe the religion of Islam on earth and to remove and to kill all Muslims. But instead of harming them, he told them, "Go, for all you are free." In their travels, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to collect firewood for his companions in order to cook their food. He made sure that no distinction should be drawn between him and them. He used to milk his sheep, to sew his clothes, and to mend his shoes. He used to be upset on seeing an overburdened, drowned animal. In spite of his holding the position of the highest authority, he stood forth before the people and said, "He whose back I have ever whipped has here my back to whip in retaliation." Dear brothers, one of the remarkable examples of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mercy is that he said about himself, "I am but a mercy granted by Allah the Almighty." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has transmitted to us from Allah the Almighty in a hadith Qudsi, "If you want my mercy, then be merciful to each other." He has also made clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on those who are compassionate, and has instructed the believers to show mercy at all times. He said, "Have mercy on those that are on the earth, and he who is in the heavens will have mercy on you." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that being merciful is better than going too far in worship. Once in Ramadan, on his way to Mecca in the year of the conquest, he fasted. On having reached the place called Qur al-Khumum, people fasted as he did. He felt, however, that fasting was too hard for someone on the account of the difficulties of traveling. So he ordered a cup of water, raised it for everybody to see, and then drank it. He broke his fast in front of the people for them to imitate him. Hearing that some were still fasting, he said, "Those are the disobedient." Once a man came hastily to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, looking delighted at the prospect of the pledging his alliance to him and to the fight for the sake of Allah the Almighty. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I have come to you to pledge myself to emigrate with you and to jihad. And I left my parents crying for me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, go back to them and make them laugh as you have made them cry. The trace of a smile on the lips of a compassionate father, or of that spreading over the face of an anxious mother, was invaluable in the sight of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why when jihad for the sake of Allah and to spread Islam to distant places would have been at the expense of being merciless to one's parents, it would have implied being disobedient to them. Hence the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized so much the necessity of being kind-hearted. As for those poor people who were forced by the circumstances to run into debt and then found themselves unable to pay it off due to their limited income and suffered because of their situation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give ease to their plight by asking the creditor to be lenient with the debtor. Although he used to safeguard people's right, in such case he granted the creditor his intercession on the day of resurrection, as well as his heart and love on account of his being lenient and patient with the debtor until the debt would be liquidated. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who gives a respite to a debtor in hardship or releases him of his debts will be overshadowed by Allah's throne on the day when there will be no shade but his. Let him who wants Allah to answer his call and relieve his distress give respite to a debtor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered mercy the best of human virtues and deemed any merciful deed to be one of the purest acts of worship. Thus the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered being merciful to others an act of worship done for his sake. So if you visit the sick or feed the hungry, it is as if you were doing a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has transmitted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the hadith Qudsi, O son of Adam, I was ill, but you did not visit me. He responds, O Lord, how could I have visited you, the Lord of the worlds? Allah says, did you not know that my slave so-and-so was ill, but you did not visit him? Did you not know that if you had visited him, you would have found me with him? O son of Adam, I asked you to feed me, but you did not. He responds, O Lord, how could I have fed you, the Lord of the all worlds? Allah says, did you not know that my slave so-and-so asked you to feed him, but you did not? Did you not know that if you have fed him, you would have found that which you gave with me? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam illustrated Allah's mercy in a wonderful way. He saw a mother taking her baby onto her arms with profound tenderness and mercy, So he turned to his companion and asked him, "Do you think that that woman could ever cast her baby in the fire?" They answered, "Never, O Messenger of Allah." He added, "Verily, Allah is far more merciful to his servant than this woman to her baby." Dear brothers, once a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him in a harsh and rude manner to increase his portion of the spoils. He said, "O Muhammad, be fair to me." The Prophet just smiled and said, "Oh, unto you, O Bedouin, if I weren't just, who else would be?" Dear brothers, that Bedouin's bold behavior reflect the assurance he felt, and at the same time the Prophet justice, because had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been a deadly feared tyrant, the Bedouin would not have had the nerve to say such words. Thus the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sure no marks of honors distinguished him from his people. Once a stranger entered the gathering where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present, and on seeing him felt his tremendous dignity so deeply that he trembled all over. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam patted his shoulder tenderly and pronounced the well-known words, pointing clearly to his extraordinary modesty, "Relax. I am not a king. I am only the son of a Quraishi woman from Mecca who used to eat al-qadid, the dried meat." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a position to exact distinction for himself on account of his excellence, but he preferred to live among people as an ordinary man. When the Bedouin said to him rudely, "O Muhammad, this wealth is neither yours nor your father's," and Umar wanted to punish him, the Prophet, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "O Umar, leave him. A rightful claimant has the right to speak." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was loving and friendly. He exceedingly obeyed Allah out of his great love for him. He was good to people because he loved them. He loved the great things and he hated the silly and bad ones. Dear brothers, here are some outstanding examples of the Prophet's love. He used to perform prayers out of his great love for Allah the Most High. Not only as a duty, he would prolong his prostrations. His heart beat rapidly, and the people around him could hear him sobbing softly on account of his being overwhelmed by the deep longing and profound love for his Lord. He used to wait for the prayer with deep yearning, and when its time came, he used to say to Bilal, the muezzin, "O Bilal, comfort us with it, the prayer." Thus the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to find comfort while performing salah. He was not waiting for it to end. And that shows the big difference between performing salah out of love and performing it as a duty. On the occasion of his staying in the city of Taif, in order to call to Allah its inhabitants, who reached by disbelieving him, ridiculed him, hurt him, and eventually encouraged the foolish ones to cause harm to him by throwing stones at him, he protected himself behind the wall, raised his head to the heavens, and invoked Allah, saying, "O my Lord, if I have not incurred your wrath, I don't mind what is happening, and reproach me until you are satisfied with me, and your providing me with health and well-being seems better to me." He did not fear suffering or pain. What he feared was that Allah might have abandoned him. He then realized that the true believers should be able to find sacrifice sweet and forget all desires for well-being. So he made up his supplication saying, "And you're providing me with health and well-being seems better to me." Dear brothers, once a particularly rude and harsh man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had not met the Prophet before, but he had heard that Prophet Muhammad was cursing the idols of the tribes of Quraysh and those of other tribes. He held up his sword and swore to kill him. When he was shown into the Prophet's presence, he started to shout quite loudly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept smiling gently, and it took just a few moments for that hard-hearted man to melt with love for him and with tender modesty. He bent over his hands and kissed them while tears were streaming down his cheek. When he calmed down, he said, "O Muhammad, by Allah, when I came to you, there was no one on the surface of the earth whom I hated more than you. But now, when I leave you, no one on the surface of this earth is more beloved to me than you." What happened to him? He loved the personality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with all his heart. So he abandoned his arrogance. The Prophet had a heart of gold and was kind to everyone, friend or foe. And whoever approached him was always deeply moved by the Prophet's heart, so big and merciful. Actually, the Quraysh did not understand the reason behind his influence over people's heart, so they claimed that he was a sorcerer. Dear brothers, let us mention some of the recommendations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as regards love and affections. He said, "By him in whose hand is Muhammad's soul, you shall not enter paradise until you are true believers, and you shall not be true believers until you love one another." He also said, "If one of you loves his brother in faith, he should tell him that he loves him." Also he said, "If a man befriends another one as a brother in faith, he should ask him about his name, his father's name, and where he's from, for this makes compassion stronger." He also said, "If there are three of you, let not two whisper secretly to each other in the presence of the third, for that will displease him." He also said, "He who forsakes his brother for a year, it is as if he had shed his blood." And he said, "It's sinful enough for you to keep carrying, and let the one who has been offered and excused by a friend accept it, be it sincere or not. And shall I tell you who the worst people among you are?" They said, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah." He said, "Those who never accept an excuse or forgive a mistake." And he also said, "Try to amend the relationship between the people when it gets broken, and to bring them close to each other when they are in disagreements." Dear brothers, here are some remarkable examples of the Prophet's concern about his companions. Uthman of the Mut'an, one of his honorable companions, wanted to devote his life to Allah and was excessively hard on himself. He went actually so far as avoiding sexual relations with his wife. One day his wife visited Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, who noticed her careless dress and depression. When asked about the reason, the woman answered, "My husband fasts every day and prays the whole night." Aisha told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about her, and so when the Prophet met her husband, he said to him, "O Osman, aren't I a good example or model for you to follow?" Osman answered, "Let my parents be sacrificed for you. What have I done?" The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you fast every day and pray the whole night?" Osman answered in the affirmative. And then the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Don't do that. Verily, your body has a right on you, and surely your wife has a right on you. So give them all their due rights." The following morning, Osman's wife was seen adorned as if she was a bride. The woman gathered around her and asked her about the reason. She answered joyfully, "What happens to everybody has happened to us." On account of his profound humanity, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not endure the feelings of a neglected wife. So he reminded her husband of her right on him. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cared a lot about his companions, and what follows is one of his sayings to confirm this fact. "Helping a brother of mine in faith to satisfy his need is more beloved to me than doing i'tikaf in my mosque for a month." He was once asked, "O Messenger of Allah, who are the most beloved ones to Allah?" He answered, "The most beloved to Allah of all people are those who do most good to mankind." He also said, "Allah has created some people who dedicate their lives to serving others. Those people are secured from his punishment. And Allah will raise the rank in paradise of whoever acts as a mediator between his brother in faith and a powerful man in a righteous matter, or a matter that brings comfort. And some people are singled out by Allah for his favors for the benefit of his servants. He is pleased with them so long as he gives them such favors to his servants. But if they withhold them, Allah will deprive them thereof and grant them such favors to other people. And whoever appoints someone to a position while there are people who are worthier than him in the sight of Allah of that position has breached the trust of Allah, of his messenger, and of the believers. And Allah will ask every custodian about his charge as to whether he guarded or lose it. Dear brothers, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was considered in the sight of the unbiased non-believers the first of the 100 most relevant men in the history of mankind. In terms of the strength of his influence, his type, its duration, and its expansion. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفر الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة supplicate may Allah accept our supplication at this time. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. So following is what some non-Muslims, scientists, writers said about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of them is Edward Gibbon, who said the greatest success of Muhammad's life was affected by sheer moral force. It is not the propagation, but by the preeminency of his religion that deserves our wonder. The same pure and perfect impression which he engraved at Mecca and Medina is preserved after the revolutions of 12 centuries by the Indians, the Africans, the Turks. The Muslims have uniformly withheld the temptation of reducing the object of their faith and devotion to a level with the sense and imagination of man. I believe in one God, and Muhammad, the Apostle of God, is the symbol and the invariable profession of Islam. The intellectual image of the deity has never been degraded by any visible idol. The honors of the prophets have never transgressed the measure of human virtue, and his living respect have restrained the gratitude of his disciples within the bounds of reasons and religion. Also, the Reverend Roger Smith described him as the head of the state as well as the head of the church. He was Caesar and Pope in one, but he was Pope without the Pope's pretensions, and a Caesar without the legions of Caesar, without standing army, without a bodyguard, without a police force, without a fixed revenue. If ever a man ruled by a right divine, it was Muhammad, for he had all the powers without their support. He cared not for the dressings of power. The simplicity of his private life was in keeping with his public life. Also, Alphonse de Lamartine mentioned, if greatness of purpose, smallness of means, and astonishing results are the three criteria of a human genius, who could dare compare any great man in history with Muhammad? Well, also, he was described by the philosopher, the orator, the apostle, the legislator, the conqueror of ideas, restorer of rational beliefs, the founder of 20 terrestrial empires and of one spiritual empire, that is Muhammad, as regards all standards by which human greatness may be measured. We may well ask, is there any man greater than Muhammad? Also, Mahatma Gandhi stated that, I wanted to know the best of the life of one who holds today an undisputed sway over the hearts of millions of mankind. I became more than ever convinced that it was not the sword that won a place of Islam for Islam in those days in the scheme of life. It was the rigid simplicity, the utter self-effacement of the prophets, the regard for the pledge, his intense devotion to his friends and followers, his fearlessness, his absolute trust in God and in his own mission. Also, George Bernard Shaw mentioned, if any religion had the chance to rule in over England, near Europe, within the next 100 years, it could be Islam. Michael Hart, in the 100 ranking of the most influential person in history, he said, "My choice of Muhammad to lead the list of the world's most influential person may surprise some readers and may be questioned by others, but he was the only man in history who was supremely successful on both the secular and religious level. It is probable that the relative influence of Muhammad on Islam has been larger than the combined influence of Jesus and Christ and St. Paul in Christianity. It is this unparalleled combination of secular and religious influence which I feel entitles Muhammad to be considered the most influential single figure in human history." And many others. You can search and see what non-Muslims stated about Prophet Muhammad. Of course, we have also his companion stated more influence and also stated thing that we'll talk about it inshallah in future khutbahs. But for now, this will be just a sample of how to deal with what's going on in the current days about that film, that defamed Prophet Muhammad. We should not go by violence, should not go by hate, we should go by showing the non-Muslim what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to deal with his enemies or with his people who used to criticize him. So now, اللهم اصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا واصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا واصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معدنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا من كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا وبلغنا مما يرضيك أملنا واختم بالباقيات الصالحات أعمالنا آمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وإمامنا وقدوتنا وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وأقول الصلاة.